Lindy Ruff would not be sitting up here if he did not believe this team could win. That's why he's here. He's here to win. This is about now. This is about the players in that locker room now. This is about the fans that come in here and can believe in something great. That's why he's sitting here.
From day one, we want to get better every day. That we want to put the work in. I want them to challenge each other to be better. Be better as a line, be better as a D pair. Just bring energy, bring enthusiasm, get better from day one till the last day of the year.
It's exciting. I think growing up being a Sabres fan and watching Lindy behind the bench all those years is very nostalgic and just super excited for the opportunity to be coached by such a legend.
Now Quinn, far corner. He'll play it up top. Shot from the point. Benson scores!
Possession for Thompson. He's got a man wide open to the far circle. Shot scores! There it is, J.J. Paterka. It is hometown and their new home rink.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's one of these multitasking days. It's a football Friday. It's the Sabres opening day. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. You're vibing your machine head over there? I saw Bush play at the Odd.
Wow.
Yeah. What year were you born?
95.
I think it was 97.
97?
Yeah. 96. Might have been 96.
Close in 96?
I saw Bush at the Odd.
Okay.
It was actually...
They might have done... They did concerts at the Odd after the Sabres closed there, I think.
So, I'm pretty sure...
If I remember right.
Again, hazy memory.
I mean, I don't remember it. I would have, known or heard about it.
Bush, Machine Head, and the Sabres Black and Reds are so closely intertwined because I think the Sabres introduced the Black and Red soon before that because it was Bush and the Goo Goo Dolls and No Doubt, and this is where people listening are like, I was at that show. The Goo Goo Dolls, they wore a black and red goat head, and it was kind of a new thing.
Okay.
Somebody, whether it was Robbie, I don't know, but I was at that show at the Odd. I also saw Bush at Marine Midland or whatever it was called at the time. Happy Sabre season.
I've got it for April 13th, 1996.
I was there.
Yeah. Machine Head came out in 1994.
Yep. Bush touring by then. It was on the album 16 Stone. Great album. Anyway. Happy Football Friday. Happy Sabres opening day. We have open phone lines. Call us on either one. Give us your Sabre. Are the Sabres going to make the playoffs, and are the Bills going to make a win over, going to beat the Texans?
For Locked On Sabres, I asked everybody to give me a number for how many points you think the Sabres are going to have this year, and then I averaged it out. Where do you think they landed? Because every single person in the media is projecting them for 88 points. There were two more yesterday I saw with 88 points. Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
I mean, isn't that the same as predicting a football game's final score is going to be 24-20?
Kinda.
Yeah. He's just like, oh yeah, right around here. Nobody would be mad if you picked 52, you'd be mocked, and if you picked 110, you'd be mocked.
So what do you think the average was for fans?
For fans,
what was the average?
94.
93.5. The lowest was 80.
Okay.
The highest
was 164.
Was 119. The second highest was 102. There were a couple people in the hundreds, but somebody, maybe even a little sarcastically, I don't know. I counted it either way. You give me a number, I counted it. 119 and winning like the President's Trophy. I did, looking at like the overall of the league in the East, there's six teams I think are definitely in. And then like, I had a hard time picking two teams I think are definitely better than the Sabres going into the year. There are six I think are definitely better. By the way, New Jersey I think is one of them. New Jersey's one of the six. That team is definitely better.
Okay.
But, like, Ottawa's definitely better. Washington's definitely better. Philly's definitely better. Pittsburgh, like, I don't know. After the top six, I had a tough time. You're competing against eight other teams. You know, like, don't differentiate the Sabres from, like, those seven teams, maybe, that would all be in the mix. But the wild card positions, I'm into it. I think they could do it. I don't think you can get top three in the division. It just still seems like an impossible task.
Sabres to make the playoffs or Bills to get the one seed? Who wants that? Who wants to try that one on? Sabres to make the playoffs or Bills to get the one seed? The AFC looks available.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game that I'm going to say this Bills-Texans game. Is it wrong to say it's one seed context? The winner is 4-1. And The Bills will play the Chiefs. Do the Texans play the Chiefs? Let me see if they've got a matchup there. The Texans have not exactly got off to a great start. I mean, they're 3-1. They got hammered by Minnesota, who's looking very good. The Texans play after this, the Patriots, Packers, Colts, Jets, Lions. I mean, they've got their share of top. They do play the Chiefs. Okay. And they play the Ravens. So all these top AFC teams play each other, and there's going to be this mishmash of what? 12-5, 11-6 teams. Tiebreakers will be head-to-head. The Bills will have played the Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs. Yep. The Texans will have played the Bills and Ravens and Chiefs. The Ravens played the Chiefs. Like they're all playing each other. So this one is in the tapestry of the tiebreaker for the one seed. So it's a big one.
I might say the Bills getting the one seed.
You think it's more likely than the Sabres making the playoffs?
Yeah. I think it's tough. I think it's close. I think I would say Bills getting the one seed. I know they've got a superstar quarterback. I know they've got a number two overall pick. It would never be surprising if a quarterback that good carried his team to getting the one seed. I have no clue how good the Sabres are. I don't know. Lukanen, I don't know that he's not going to regress. Every goalie regresses. There's like three goalies in the world in the last 20 years that don't go back and forth.
Well,
Lundqvist never did it, and Vasilevsky, somebody that doesn't do it. Like Marc-Andre Fleury is going to make the Hall of Fame. Go look at his numbers. It is like a roller coaster. Like Lukanen's just going to be 920 for his career.
To that point,
it's not realistic.
Aren't the Sabres, again, Football Friday, call us on the Bills. We got Chris Brown coming up. Mark Vandermeer, play-by-play of the Texans at 9. So plenty of football still coming, but it is Sabres opening day, and you've got me on something here. Is it not very obviously true that right now the Sabres have the best 1-2 goalie scenario that they've had in you fill in the blank how many years?
I agree with that because I would probably put the number at like
10 years.
Miller and Roth.
Right. They've got
Miller and Roth.
Lukanen has shown he can do it. We'll see how long that, even if there is, what I'm getting at is if there is a little regression, the backup plan is the best backup plan they've had in 10 years.
I'm more confident in Levi than any number two they've had in
Who was that over the years? It used to be Lukanen when he hadn't proven anything.
It was Comrie.
It was Eric Comrie. It was on and on. Like
Carter Hutton.
He was the starter, and then he was the backup when he had the eye issue.
But even
he couldn't see. He had a vision issue.
Right,
like,
right. When he became the number two, we found out after he had eye surgery during the season. Like, on the list of nuts things that have happened during the playoff drought, they had a goaltender that couldn't see.
Yeah.
Who else would have been in there? Chad Johnson? He might have been one of the good ones, actually, if we look back on the career
Dustin
stats.
Dustin Tokarski, Aaron Dell. Oh. Right, like since
who's their number two when they try to make the playoffs 2 years ago? Was it Lukanen?
2 years ago when they just finished out,
they missed by one.
That's Allmark, Tokarski, Hutton, Johansson, Michael Hauser, Lukanen, and
listen to this.
Someone named Stefanos Lekas. Did he play in a game? He did not.
No way.
No, he did not. Okay.
I mean, come on. Listen to how many goalies there though.
Yeah, and right now it's Craig Anderson. They brought back for another season of
Craig
Anderson. Help us get through this, right? Like last year, Anderson and Comrie, and you know. Comrie's 886 and Anderson is 908.
Yeah.
You know, like, so.
Levi was number two in the AHL in save percentage last season. And do you want to know where he ranked last year with his. He had a sub 900 save percentage for the Sabres. He did. But do you want to know where he ranked in goals saved above expected per 60 last season? He was number seven in the NHL, right behind Connor Hellebuck. He faced. By the advanced numbers, the shot attempts he saw, I don't know why this happened, it was very different from Lukanen. He saw one of the toughest tests in the league last year relative to how much he played, and he did above what was expected of him. And he was a star prospect in the first place. He then went to Rochester and dominated.
Yep.
He was 21, which any other, go look at the list of the other 21-year-old goalies that are top prospects in the NHL. None of them were even in the NHL last year. Like, one of them was, and he was a backup, and he didn't even play well. Askarov, maybe. So, like, for Levi, I've got, last year might have felt like down year for the hype of Levi. There's no reason to believe to me he is not still on track to be a top number one goalie. But I don't need him to be that yet. I just need him to be,
yeah.
You need, just get me 30 games of not cratering their schedule.
Right, plan B or plan 1B if, you know, plan 1A goes off the rails. Blaze in Buffalo. Hey, Blaze, good morning.
Yeah, hey, guys, good morning. You know, I just get frustrated with the Sabres because it's all this talk about the bottom six. It's almost like everybody eats from the Bills. Like, the number one guys are who determine the fate of the season. The problem last year, like, yeah, the bottom six was terrible, but the problem was the top six guys weren't scoring. And I don't know if, like, Thompson's injury is enough for an explanation for, like, why, like, just why he didn't. I don't know. It's so frustrating. Like, I'm 23. I haven't seen the Sabres in the playoffs since I was, like, 10. I barely remember the 05-06 teams, like, the last time they were legitimately good. I remember my cousins being excited about it, but it's, I don't know. So I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah.
The bottom six doesn't move the needle for me at the end of the day.
Thanks, Blaze. I like this actual comparison to everybody eats versus bottom six. And listen, it's nice to have those things be good, but you're right. This is part of the comparison is not exactly a perfect one, but I totally agree that what's going to get the Sabres to the playoffs, Paul said it, Tage back to 40 goals. They need their best players to be their best players. They need Tage and Quinn and Paterka and Tuck and Cousins to score, to put up points. Skinner's gone, and okay, there's a added positive there because his defensive limitations won't be here. I mean, he went to Edmonton. He's going to play with Dreisaitl. So they think he's good enough to play and score, and we'll see what he does there. I'm with you. Like, it's the same thing as everybody eats. I don't want to fight against everybody eats, but watch Atlanta last night. That's an everybody eats offense, and it has Drake London. You don't have to pick between having Davante Adams and having other good receivers. And sometimes I think these conversations about everybody eats make it seem like you have to pick one. The Bills had Diggs with Beasley and Sanders and Davis. That was an everybody eats offense.
Mm-hmm.
You do need, if you're ultimately going to be good, this is Blaze's point about the Sabres, and this is how I feel about this Bills offense. If you're great, it's because people showed up as great. And it's not you can't smoke and mirrors your way to a great offense. Players will have to be great. Allen is. Shakir's showing signs of being really, really good. We're hoping Coleman blossoms into a great player. But you aren't going to get by with, you know, oh, today was Mac Hollins' day to get 60 yards. That's not going to do it on the grand scale of getting to where you want to be. Now, with the Sabres, you know, you don't need Tage to be McDavid. You need him to be the guy that he was, which is what, like the 15th best player in the sport for a year? He was awesome. Him back at the top, Dahlin, where he's going to be, you know.
They need their best players.
To be their best players.
To be on par or close to on par with the other playoff teams, with the other top teams.
There's a million ways to say it, but one of the other ways to say it is they can't have their leading point getter have 60.
Right.
Because that's what they were last year.
Right. That can't even be close to true.
Right. A bunch of guys with 60 ain't going to do it. A guy with 130 is a big deal. I mean, that's a big number. So
don't you need somebody to be like in an awards chase to be legitimately good?
Yes.
Somebody. One person.
Dahlin be in the Norris.
Or Tage to win the maybe not the Hart, maybe the Rocket.
Yes.
You know, like for most goals. Or
and this is
Luukkonen for the Vezina, like as a top five guy for that. Just don't you need one guy to be in that race?
Yeah, I never ever
one of the races
want to shy away from the stars. Stars win. That's who wins these championships. It's Hall of Famers and stars. And you could point out, well, what about the Chiefs? I mean, the Chiefs, of course, have Mahomes, and they've had Kelce.
And Chris Jones.
And Chris Jones. Three top 10 players in the NFL every single year. They're voted in the top 10.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they have a Hall of Fame coach. It is stars. And you build things around them that insulate those stars, and that's your way forward. In Houston, like, we'll see. Diggs is their insulation. That's the difference between the pass catchers of the Texans and the Bills right now. The Texans had two guys emerge. Nico Collins emerged to be one of the best receivers in football. Tank Dell very much outpaced draft expectations, and now Diggs is like the insulation for that. Here, I've got Keon Coleman hopefully ready to take some steps forward. I've got Curtis Samuel asking, where is this guy? He was supposed to be a little bit of your insulation. I mean, the Bills, it's kind of all insulation, and it's Allen, right? It's no second horse right now to carry an offense with him. It's We've got a bunch of guys that we hope can do a little bit, but someone hopefully emerges from that. That's the best case scenario in the next 3, 4, 5, 10 weeks. Is somebody proves to be worthy of teams looking at and saying, like, well, we cannot let that guy beat us. I mean, Kincaid has that to a degree right now where they're focusing on him, but it's even got to be more.
It's got to be more. Defenses might stop doing that or at least dial it back a
well,
little bit.
Well, if all they have to focus on is Kincaid and there's no problem, then they'll definitely just keep doing that.
They're just the middle.
They're taking the bets that, like, you don't have anything on the outside. We don't have to have any fears out
there. That's the thing. It's maybe a combination of it. I'm just taking away the middle. I'm taking away their slot receivers if I can, and I'm taking away Kincaid. Or I'm trying to do that, and I'm daring the Bills to throw it to the outside. And right now, the only play, to my imagination, that seems like it works on the outside is the back shoulder Keon Coleman play that we saw a couple of times. The contested catch to Coleman. And that has its place. But good luck making that one of, like, the lifebloods of your offense, because that's what it looked like on Sunday. It looked like that was the only play they had. The only play that was working was either Allen doing something hero ball to the sideline to Shakir, or what were the other plays that worked against the Ravens? It was Coleman back shoulder. And I just think you're going to have a tough time making that more than just a, you know, once in a while type of play for
it. It can be in the repertoire, right, but you can't build the whole offense out of back shoulders. I mean, it's an important play to have. It's a tool to have in the box.
Meanwhile, on the Houston side of things, like, to me, it's like almost coincidental that they have Diggs for this, but they do. They could have had Keenan Allen. That was the guy they were originally trying to trade for before they went after Diggs. Houston is, to me, like the real version of everybody eats, because they're all good or even great. ESPN Analytics has their open scores that they track, how good our receivers are getting open. And on the season so far, Malik Nabers is number one, and then Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins are number two and number three. Like, they have great players. That offense is, I think, when it's at its peak, everybody eats because everybody is so good. Just Diggs will get his targets. Collins will be number one because he's maybe a top five receiver in the sport now. And Tank Dell will get involved. Dalton Schultz will get involved. Mixon will get... They have a bunch of guys that are really good, and they do all get the football enough, I think, to warrant being called the same thing. But they just don't have to... The Bills have this idea of everybody eats, but I just don't know that anybody's worth eating, if that makes sense. I need you to actually be good at the sport first before I'm committed to having you involved in the offense.
Right. You don't want to commit six targets to Mac Hollins for the sake of it.
Right.
I need those going to Kincaid and Shakir.
It's almost like they have this idea of balance. It's like, it feels like you're more balanced if, hey, everybody is below average. If I have five guys that are all below average, well, it feels like everybody eats because everybody's kind of on the same tier together. But you want them on the same tier on one of the higher tiers.
Yeah.
I don't want four number four receivers and spread it around. I want four guys that are all, you know, top 15, top 20 at what they do, and then spread it around. That's the Niners, too.
And that might be where it's a bit of a transition year. And back to, like,
right.
This offense did look great for 3 weeks. And one bad game, okay, we'll see. This is where Curtis...
It looked great for 3 weeks, though, in part because one of their receivers was playing above expectation.
Right, which is Shakir.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kincaid was... Everybody else was kind of quiet. James Cook was a big part of their offense, too. This is where Curtis Samuel is, like, the buzzword today, right? We asked Sal, who of the everybody eats, who needs more on their plate? He said Samuel. And I agree. And Joe Brady talked about it, finding ways to get Curtis Samuel the ball. Only if, by the way, and this is kind of to your point, only if, though, he's good. Only if... The things we thought we were getting from him,
right.
You know, he plays the role. Doesn't he play, I'm going to use blasphemy because this guy's really good, so I'm not saying he's this guy, but doesn't he play the Jaden Reed role?
He's supposed to.
He can be used on jet sweeps. He can be used running the ball. I mean, Jaden Reed runs the ball. Jaden Reed's yards after catch. He's got good speed. But
he's also, he's burning guys down the field.
He's awesome. And yeah. Samuel is supposed to be fast, hey, this guy's been with bad quarterbacks his entire career. Put him with Josh Allen and let those two cook. So he still is to me, Joe, the way out of the whole Devontae Adams conversation, or the way out of do they have enough weapons here, is for Samuel to pop. Like people did expect him to pop. When they acquired him, Samuel, you know, Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, who comes on the station in the afternoon show, like he loved the signing, has loved Samuel for a long time. Nothing but good things to say about Curtis Samuel. And it's off to a slow start. It's a long season. We'll see where it goes. I do think like unlocking the offense more so to another tier where you don't have games like the Baltimore game, it's either going to be Coleman or Samuel. And I think the expectation should be Samuel, veteran in the league, has had success, has worked with the coordinator. You're not asking too much of your rookie, which would be okay to ask him too. But I think Samuel is the target here for this. We'll talk with Chris Brown when we get back on all this, all things Bills. Bills Texans coming your way the Sunday 1 o'clock. We'll call that segment right there about Curtis Samuel. Who needs to just get results? Dan Chacha, injury attorneys, just who needs to get results? That's brought to you by Dan Chacha, injury attorneys. No worries, just results. Curtis Samuel. Let's get some results out of Curtis Samuel in this offense. Jeremy and Joe, Chris Brown on the other side here on WGR on Football Friday.